Well, I really am excited about this morning and about our month of vision and all that God has for us for this year. Let's just pray, just as the still some sheets going around for the kids, but let's just pray as those sheets are being distributed. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord, as your family. What a wonderful thing it is to worship you, Lord, to declare your wonder, Lord, to love you, Lord, because you love us so much. And Lord, we thank you for your word that's given to us, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that you've placed us in a family, Lord, that we're here in Grow Church. And Lord, that there's a purpose, Lord, that we all have a part in, because we are the church, Father. And so, Lord, as we open your word this morning, as we talk about the purpose of this church, Father, Lord, we just pray that you speak to us, encourage and challenge each and every one of us, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. 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 Well, this morning we really are looking at the name of our church, the heart of the church, the purpose of our church, Grow Church. You would have got something as you come in with a newsletter, which is a little sermon summary to go over what we're looking at this morning as we look at the purpose of Grow Church. And if you're a visitor and you're not sure what we're about, well, the name's Grow Church, and it's not an accident that we're called Grow Church. We're not a church that's here to entertain you or to amuse you. We're here to see you. We're a church to see you grow in everything that God has, that you become the people that God has made you to be. That's our heart. We really want to see people mature and become mature. It's interesting when you read about maturing. I was reading an article at the end of last year, and it was looking at all the stats of all the Hoon drivers and looking at all the cars that had been impounded and giving breakdowns by areas, and also gave a breakdown of people in age brackets that were Hoon drivers that had their car impounded and took their car off them. Amongst them were people that were in their late 70s that were Hoon drivers. So you can just imagine these grandpas with the little hats on, they're hooning around doing burnouts around a car park. And I think the oldest guy was about 78. Was the oldest Hoon that I read about in this article. It's amazing how many Hoon drivers. And it's not because of he put his foot on the accelerator. The police picked him up because he was a Hoon. And so there's something about when we talk about maturity, you think, well, these guys are older. You think, you know, one time you get to that age, you're not going to be a Hoon driver hooning around the streets of Melbourne. But there's something about maturity that isn't actually linked to age. There's something about experience that we have as we get older. As you go through life, you pick up some life experience and hopefully some wisdom along the way. Not a lot of wise Hoon 77-year-old drivers, or 78, I think he was, hooning around, is there? But there's something about becoming mature, and certainly that's our heart in Grow Church. I just got some good thoughts about what it is about being mature. I'm going to ask a bunch of questions. And I just want you to have a look at these things and see, well, how am I actually maturing, or am I mature? Because being mature is not, oh, yeah, I know every verse in the Bible. Well, the devil knows every verse in the Bible. He's not a mature Christian. He's not even a baby Christian. In fact, he's not even a Christian at all. And so what it is about being mature, it was interesting. Mariel, when she spoke last week about the parable of the sower in Luke 8:14, it talks about there, about the worries of this life, about deceitfulness of the pleasures or seeking after riches, how these other things choke or stop us becoming mature. So worried about the problems, so worried about the hassle, just wanting pleasure. Oh, look, it's fun. I need to do it. You know, I need to go off and do that. I need to take the time to do that all the time. And or riches and looking after stuff, and that will choke maturity. But here's some questions for you about to find out, well, how am I growing and how am I going along this growth journey? So question, what are you like when the heat is on, when you face discouragement or heartache, in the midst of suffering or a crisis? James 1:4, it says, perseverance finishes its work and makes us mature. So what are you like when you're going through a tough time? Because it's easy when everything's going well, isn't it? It's when things aren't going the way you want, when things aren't going well, when the struggle is on, when the answer doesn't seem to come, when there's disappointment, discouragement, failure, people let you down. How do you handle it? How well do you handle failure? How well do you handle success? Are you more in love with God today than you were 5 years ago? And how do you determine that? How well do you listen to the Holy Spirit? And how well do you obey? Do you love His body, the church, His people, as much as He does? Are you faithful in church attendance? Are you totally surrendered to God? Are you a tither and a giver? Have you put away your idols? Are you dying to sin, or is sin killing you? How's your heart? How's your mouth? What comes out? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's your heart? What's your mouth like? Are you growing in your relationship with God? Are you teachable, hungry to learn and grow? Do you reach out to those around you who do not know Christ? Do you sacrificially use the gifts that God has given each and every one of us in serving or leading? Are you hopeful and optimistic for the future? Do you completely trust God? How are you in the maturity stakes? Colossians 4:12 says, stand firm in all his will, the will of God, and full assurance, having that optimism, that hope for the future, and standing in the will of God. How are we at those things? Is our heart in Grow Church is that we want to see you grow in all of those areas, everything that God has for each and every one of us. So I want to now quickly go over that handout that you got given a moment ago, which is just the talks about our purpose as a church, and particularly that scripture. That's a very key scripture that is listed there for you. And I want to read through this passage. I'm not going to go through everything that's within this passage. There's a lot in it. I could probably easily spend more than the month of vision on this one passage. I'm not going to do that. But this is a key passage in the life of the church about seeing us grow to be mature so that we are spiritually mature, not just an old person that's not wise or someone that's been in church their whole life and still immature in their attitudes and responses and the way things happen. No, that we grow and mature in the things of God. Ephesians 4:1-17, I'll read this. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it, and that's what it says. When he ascended, what is it when he says, what does ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves. I distress when I see people getting tossed backwards and forwards by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. A lot of stuff that's contained within it, and you'll find that really the heart of the church, heart of who we are as Grow Church, is really woven in these particular passages, particularly verses 15 and 16. You'll find that we're going to, in every respect, to grow up into him, to grow up into Christ. Because that Christ is the one that brings us together. We hear from many different nationalities, many different backgrounds, many different stories. Some have had stories where it seems like everything seems to have gone well for them, although that's not true of anyone. I don't know anyone whose everything has really gone well for them in their life. Others that have obviously gone through areas of heartache, people that have come from different nations, different backgrounds, different circumstances, and God has put us all together here as one family that's called Grow Church together. And really our heart is contained in this verse about what our goal is. What does God want? What's his plan for us? What's his purpose for each and every one of us for our lives? And verse 13 really contains that for us, really what our goal is. It says to become mature. attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What are you on about in life as a Christian? Well, I want to mature. I want to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The whole measure, not part of it. But that's the journey we're on. I'm going to the whole measure to the fullness of Christ. That's our goal. That's the end game. That's what we're on about, that we might go in that way. Ephesians 3:19, if you looked a little bit earlier in that passage, it talks about being filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So that's our heart is growing. So as I said, we're here to grow. We want to see us grow, that we grow in the things in our life in Christ, in terms of our mindset, in terms of our attitudes, in terms of our behavior, our responses, all of those things, the questions that I asked, that we grow in all of those things and let Christ be revealed in each of our heart and our life. And as I said, read this excellent article from Pastor John. It's part A, you'll get part B next month, but about maturing and growing in Christ. I encourage you with that. In verse 15, it says, to grow, to become in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is the Christ, every area of our lives. And God doesn't want us to grow really well over here in this area of my church life. I'm really growing and I'm strong up here. But in the rest of the week, my growth has been stunted. That I'm same as everybody else at work and I behave like they all behave at work. And think, oh no, but look at me, I'm growing over here. No, it's every aspect of our life. We're one person, one life. God wants us to grow completely in every area of our life. And that's the challenge that God has put us on and why we're about. That's what we're on about as a church. And that heart of growing to maturity in that way, we have a phrase or a saying is to be everything that God made us to be. And that encapsulates that very, very heart, that we might grow into the full measure of the fullness of Christ. And that every plan and every purpose that God has for each and every one of us will be fulfilled. And the amazing thing, as you read through this passage and if you study this passage more, you would actually find and see that the more that you are growing as a person, the more you are growing in the things of God and in your daily life, you are actually making us grow. We grow together because we are the church. It's not a building, it's not an organization, it's not a structure, it's alive, it's living, it's vibrant, and every one of us is a part of that. And so your journey to maturity, your path of maturing, as you are maturing, you're actually feeding into my life, into others around us, and together we are growing all the way through. And you'll find, you look at the word Ephesians, the word together is a reoccurring theme in the book of Ephesians about the sense of being together, about being a body. You can't be a full-on Christian if you're on your own in isolation. Oh, I'm praying at home. That's nonsense. You pray at home, of course you pray at home, but it's when you're gathering together that's really where you're going to grow. Unless you're in prison or else you're physically confined because of health that you're unable to get, you need to get together to grow. It's so important in the things of God. There's four main themes I want to draw out of this passage and very quickly have a look at these things, because these are four cornerstones, four things that are fundamental into the life of our church. Now, one of the obvious important parts of this passage where it talks about God giving gifts to each of us, talks about setting aside leadership in the life of the church, and we spoke about that aspect on Thursday night with the leaders, because our leaders, part of their job is to help us in the process of equipping and building us and training us and helping people to move on that path, on that journey that God has for each and one of us. So I don't want to talk about that here. I've spoken about that with the leaders. But I want to look at these words and themes that are reoccurring, particularly in this passage. The first one is the area of growing in God. And it's so important that we grow in God. That we're growing in God, that as a Christian, you can look back and say, look, last year I grew in this particular area of my life and I know more now of the love of God and I know more. And last year, as we talked about the battle that we're in, well, trust that you grew and you know, and I can stand, I can take it because I'm armored and clad in the things of God, and that we understand more about resilience. We're not infants that we're chopping and changing and blowing by every wind and things that happen. No, there's something solid about us. There's a substance to us. There's something strong about the people of God, and it's the life of Christ within us, the power of his Holy Spirit. But growing in God is so important. Verse 15, it says about, we will grow. It's about growing. And each of our hearts says, Lord, I'm going to grow. My intention, I set my course that I am going to grow. And as I said, that's what we're not interested in, just entertaining you or amusing you. We want to see you grow because that's what God wants. That's God's heart for you. God's got a plan and a purpose for each and every one of our lives. And then not to have the tragedy of getting to the end of the life and saying, oh, so much potential, so much promise, but never walked into the purpose. God wants us to move into the purpose of God to, that we will grow. Verse 16, so it talks about us growing. We're going to grow individually as a person and we want to grow. We will grow. Also verse 16, it talks about the body, how it grows and builds itself up in love, builds itself up. So there's something about growing in God. There's a responsibility that you have. You say, oh, I didn't really grow in God much that year. Then don't blame your leaders. Don't blame your pastors. Don't blame. Just look in the mirror and say, okay, what didn't I do, God? The things that you was prompting in my spirit. What was the things I wasn't listening to? Lord, what was it? Lord, I don't want to miss it. Lord, I want to grow. I want to grow. We've got to build ourselves up. We build each other up also as a body collectively. You build me, I build you, we build one another up. And the word's about building there. The word literally means it's like getting down, putting down one thing on top of another. It's systematic. It's something that's definite. It's planned, not an accidental throw all the bricks and out comes a building. It's not that. It's something deliberate where we put things down in place. We build on line upon our heart. And that's how God wants to build you. Don't think that you can just throw the things of God and everything's going to come out. No, you have to systematically apply the things of God to your life to build. But growing in God is such an important part of who we are. And you never stop growing in God. You always will be growing in God. And I trust that that's your heart, that you love God. Oh, Lord, I want to know more about the love of God. Lord, I want to know more about the power of God. Lord, I want to know more what it is to walk in blessing. Lord, I want to know what it is to embrace suffering. Lord, and to know, Lord, that you're with me, Lord. I want to know more of you, Lord, who you are. Something hungry, something stirring in my heart. I'm not satisfied, Lord. I want to grow in you. And that's our heart. We want to grow in God. And verse 13, it talks about what we're going to grow in. It says, growing in unity, in the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God. And so there's a sense of growing together, that my life is connected with you. I don't just throw that away easily. I don't just go here and there. No, I'm connected to you. And there's something about that. There's a unity. We belong to one another. We don't tear at the body. We don't divide the body. No, there's a unity. There's a oneness. We're one body, one people together that God has called and ordained that we be together. That we will grow in faith. How's your faith? Expecting God to move in your life this year? Expecting the things of God to be revealed in your heart? Is this faith stirring? Do you trust God? Do you say, God, you are faithful to your word. And I'm not going to be holding on to my circumstances, Lord. No, I'm going to stand on that rock solid foundation of Jesus Christ. My faith and my hope is found in Jesus Christ. So we grow in unity, we grow in faith, and we grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. Because you're always finding more and more about God. The more you get to know God, the more blown away you are. First of all, the thing that amazes me is God's tolerance towards us, which is a better word, is his grace towards us. He is so gracious towards us. The more you understand how holy God is, the more you understand how gracious he is. The more you grow in God, the more you understand his love, the more in awe of you and say, Lord, how could I ever doubt you? How could I ever not have trusted you, Lord? And more I grow in the understanding of his love, growing in the knowledge of God. And that's why it's so important as we gathering together that we're growing ourselves in the knowledge of God and in his ways. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. And we want to grow in these areas in unity and faith and the knowledge of Son and God. And another reoccurring word that happens in there is in love. Because there's something about being in Christ, being in a God who is love. And we had all year talking about that. In love. It's in love. It's in love. And that love happens in community. I love myself. No. Love. We're growing in love together. There's a heart for other people in love. And it's all in love. It's woven through that. We grow together. We want to grow in love. And as I said, we spent a year on that. and that we have the same heart, the same attitude as Christ, that love overflows and flows out of our heart. Second area that is reoccurring in here is the whole concept of relationships that is spread right through this passage. It's woven all the way through. It talks about the body of Christ. I tell you what, when there's a body, the body is actually joined and all fit and connected together. When you're talking about a body, there's not little bits and pieces all over the place. That's death. That is, someone is dead if there's bits and pieces. No, there's life. So everything, everyone is all connected in together. There's that sense of we belong to one another, that what happens to you influences me, and what I do actually influences and affects you. And I can't think, oh, it's not going to affect anyone. No, it does. It affects me. The choices you make, the things that you do, that actually affects me. It affects me personally. It affects the church, the choices, the things that you do, because we're a body, we're connected. If my finger decides to go running over here and put itself in the little socket over there, it's not the only one with the new hairstyle. It affects the entire body. If we do something, it affects one another. Don't underestimate that there is this whole theme of being a body, that there is that sense of we are related to the whole body it talks about. Verse 16, it says, joined and held together. Joined and held together. And so we're joined and held together. We don't just stand next to each other and there's some little mysterious glue that's holding us together. No, I grab my hand and I'm holding on to your hand, and you grab my hand and we are joined and held together, because I'm holding on and you're holding on and we're not letting go, because we're one people. We're one body together. That's our heart, that we are joined and held together by every supporting ligament. And so you're there supporting those alongside you, those people that are in your grow group. You're there with them because you're connected with them in that way. They're going through a hard time. And so you're part of the body, and so that you're in close proximity. There's fingers, so the rest of that part of the body will minister together, holding them close, supporting one another. So important. But if you decide not to be there, then I'm missing out on what you bring. I'm missing out on that support, on that encouragement, on that supporting that you give me. And so what you do is so important for me. It's so important for each and every one what we do. You're the supporting ligament. Don't deny that for the other parts of the body. Your role is fundamental. It's critical. You're a part of the body. You don't do your bit. You know, Matthew played a basketball game yesterday after reffing all afternoon, and he played a basketball game, has severe cramp in his leg, and man, that cramp on his leg was severe. I've never seen anyone's muscle do that. Whole foot went down, and poor Matthew was down. And because if one muscle wasn't doing the thing, it took him down. And if one of us aren't saying, no, look, isn't wanting to contribute, doesn't want to give the support, the encouragement to be there, getting aside one another, encouraging, then the body suffers. There's something missing in that whole process. And again, the whole theme of relationships, again, in love. In love all the way through, verse 2, verse 16, verse 15, about love. And as I said, that happens together as a body in community. That's where love is expressed. And we express that. We show the care for one another. That's what we do. That's where we care for each other. We can show that. It's hard when everybody's together. But when you're together in a grow group, when you're in that intimate place, that setting, you can show the love of God and just help encourage one another and help those that are hurting. And so it's so important, this area of relationship. Growing in God and relationships. God didn't make us islands. He didn't make us on our own. He made you that you would be in community with other people, that you would be closely connected as a body with these supporting ligaments, that together we grow and together we flourish. And so relationships is such an important theme. It talks about being completely humble and gentle. Completely humble and gentle. Be patient. How patient are you? God wants to grow us in patience. When things aren't what they should be, what they could be, but are we patient? Are we humble? Are we gentle in the way we deal and when we handle things? And that's what it's about, relationship. You can't be humble on your own. You're humble among other people. You're gentle with them and you're patient with them. And God encourages on that. It's part of that. Verse 3, the unity again of the Spirit. It's all that oneness together, that area of relationship is so, so important. It's a reoccurring theme that is right through this passage. Another theme is in verse 3, is this about reaching out. And that's in verse 15 where it talks about speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Now, we know what truth is because we spent a lot of time on that last year about truth, about what truth is, the truth of the Word, the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And speaking the truth in love is not just saying, oh, look, I really do, you know, I'm sorry, but you really have a daggy haircut. That's not speaking the truth in love. That's pretty heartless, actually, to say that. Maybe a wife might be able to say that to the husband or whatever else, but you use tact and you're not causing harm to people. It's not about just being honest with one another. In fact, as I said, you need tact and it needs to be in love. In love. In love. Never use the truth as a weapon. We've said that before. You speak the truth in love. No love, no truth. Okay, don't beat people up. Well, it's right, but I didn't have a heart of love when I said it or did it. So love has got to be behind that. And if you have love for people, then people will respond to the truth. If there's not love in your heart, then they will never receive the truth. But there's something about speaking the truth in love, and that's what God wants us to do. We want to grow ourselves, but we want to grow collectively. People will come in as be brought in by us and relate to us as we speak the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. As we tell them about the love of Jesus Christ in our third week of our week of vision, we're going to really focus on this particular aspect and give you some tools, some apps and things to help you with all of that. But we speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth, telling people the truth of the gospel, that Jesus came, that he died on the cross. We celebrated that at communion. He died on the cross in our place for the sins that we have done. He took the punishment that we deserve. He took that upon himself. And the people don't have to live in the consequences of their sin. People don't have to live in the destruction and the heartache that the devil will throw out of them. No, they can come into the plans and purposes of God. And we need to speak the truth in love, people that you related to, people that you know, people that you have. Sometimes you can have a heart for people, generally that's good, but people that you know particularly you're connected to, you can speak the truth in love. Because if your heart's right and you love them, then the truth can go forth. And so there's the theme of outreach that comes through about speaking out the truth in love. And also then verse four, the fourth area talks about working together, about using the gifts that God has given us. And so in a body, you know, look, just if I've got my hand here and this finger's doing a fantastic job working hard, even the thumb, get a fair bit done, but these other fingers, they don't want to help, you know, because they're tired. They had a hard day. They're tired, these fingers. And so, yeah, I can do some stuff with these two fingers, but there's certain things that I just can't hold, certain things that I cannot do. And somehow that I'm lessened in my ability to function because there's parts of the body who just want to be there. Well, I was there, wasn't I? I was on your hand. I rocked up. Here I am. I'm there. I'm a part of the body. Here I am. But you're just there. You're not doing anything. I want all my fingers to do something because God has made my hand perfectly. Well, I like it anyway. He's made my hand and he's put all the bits together there. And they all work together and function well together. But if my thumb wasn't working, and we've all probably had an injury. Have you ever injured your thumb or one of your fingers? Some of you have seen, you've just about chopped your fingers off. Not very smart, but we can do it. And you don't have part of you notice it, don't you? You try getting dressed with one hand. If you get a hand down in a sling or something, you try getting dressed with one hand. Something as simple as putting your socks or shoes on or putting on your trousers or something, something that is so painfully easy to do, suddenly becomes the most complicated thing in your life. It takes you half an hour trying to get dressed, well, when you could have done it in 2 minutes if you had two hands. How much more effective when every part of the body is actually doing its bit? Not just saying, well, I'm there, here I am, I'm here, but I'm not doing anything. But I was there. No, no, it's more than that. It's about every part, every bit doing its work. And it talks about, as we do that, it talks about that's what causes us to grow, causes you to grow spiritually. If you're serving in the things of God, because I tell you what, when you're serving, not everything goes exactly the way you wanted it to do. And when you're working with your hand, one day you get the hammer, bang, oh, I didn't expect the hammer. I just wanted to be working. Well, you might get hit with the hammer. How do you respond when the hammer hits your thumb? Some of you, the way you respond, I don't even want to know. But How do we handle that? Okay. Because it happens as in serving. Because someone will hit us with a hammer. Oh, that's it. I'm dropping off now. Oh, my thumb's gone now. There's only four fingers now because stuff will happen. But how do you handle that? Even when you're serving, when something happens, you're well-meaning, you're well-intentioned, you're doing everything with the right heart and right attitude, and then whack. How do you handle it? How mature are you? It matures you. I tell you what it does. People let you down. People disappoint you when they don't do what they're supposed to do. How do you handle that? It's about maturing in your body. But every part of us has a part. It says to each of us in verse 7, grace has been given. Each. Hands up if you're an each. If your hand is down, put up the other one. You are an each. Every one of us is an each. Each and every one of us. Every one of us. So you can't say, oh no, I'm the finger that just hangs out. I don't have to do anything. No, no, each and every one of us. We've all been given a gift and all have a role to play. We're going to really focus on this on our fourth week of our month of vision about that, about the part that you have to play. But don't let the body be trying to work with just a couple of fingers and think, oh, well, they're pretty good. Thumb's pretty handy. It's a good finger. Don't make the body do that. Just say, no, I'm going to use that. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to use what God has given. And it says part of the role of leadership is to equip the people for works of service. Part of the things that God will grow you in so that you are working, that you are serving. That's a sign of growing in God. It's easy just to go to the party and just sit there. But if you go to the party and then you're there and you see the hostess, oh, hang on, look, what's happening in the kitchen there? Oh, man, the poor hostess, you know, hair's all over the place. She's got sweat dropping off her and food plops and pants. She needs some help. You go in there and say, no, look, I will help serve. I will help you serve. Some people just want to go to the party, kick back and rejoice and enjoy it. Well, that's fine. But be aware. Maybe you need to go into the kitchen and maybe come out and help that poor hostess and say, what can I do? Because we're all enjoying this together and you really want to come out and enjoy it too, not spend the whole time out in the kitchen. You want to be a part of it as well. So what can I do to help for works of service? And verse 16, as each part does its work, as I said, each. That's you, Mr. and Mrs. Each. You're each. Every one of us is an each. From the youngest to the oldest, we're an each. As we each do our part. So working together. So we've got those four main themes that are locked in this passage. As I said, the whole area of the leaders doing that. I've spoken to our leaders about that. And so we've got these four things. Now I just want you to, the stewards right now are going to hand out this little card to everybody. So stewards who are already ready to go. And really this card here really summarizes really what we're on about as a church. You can actually see it on the banner there as well. You can see it on the screen. Really, what is our purpose? Well, we're growing in God. We want to grow in God. And if you're a Christian, you want to grow in God. A disciple of Jesus Christ wants to grow. If you don't want to grow in God, I really doubt your conviction in the things of God. Whether that you're a casual believer but not really wanting to be a true disciple if you don't want to grow in God. So important about growing in God that our relationships are so important. That God wants us to grow in that area of relationship. That the way that we respond, the way that we talk to one another, the way that we encourage one another, the way we build one another up. That area of relationships is so, so important. And outreach. God's given us so much, but I tell you what, it's not just for you to have a party with. It's for you to bring your friends in and bring them along. Let them come to the party. Let them know what Jesus has done for them. Don't let your family and friends be lost to oblivion or heartache and not knowing what their future is. We have a heart. We love them and we want to see them grow in the things of God. And so it's here, the area of outreach and working together. Such an important thing. Because if you want to grow in God, you'll want to serve. You want to do something. You want to grow in that because that's a great place to develop your character. God cares about your character. Because when you go to heaven, you're not going to take your riches, your boat, your car. You're going to take your character. What kind of person are you? What are you building? And so great work working together. And then that phrase down the bottom being everything that God made us to be. But also the important thing about this is that we see this as being a process, that we're actually on a journey. Bible speaks about that. Paul speaks on Philippians 1:6. He says, being confident of this, that he that began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So we are actually on a journey. When you give your life to Christ and you come, and I was speaking to someone the other week about that, that we're now on a journey. And there's a progression as I walk along my journey. And so there's a journey in Christ, and we want to see everybody journeying in Christ. And we really see this as a journey in Christ. We're going to put a little clip on, and it's just going to explain this to you, that how these four elements of our church purpose is a journey that God wants us to walk in, and that we walk along this path. And as it goes through this clip, when they show it now, that you have a look and you say, okay, well, where am I? Where am I? You think, oh, I'm pretty good. I go to church. Oh, hang on. I'm just first base. I'm just starting. So let's just roll this now. Let's have a look. At Grow Church, our heart is that you will grow to be everything that God has made you to be. We want you to grow spiritually and as a person, growing in God, in relationships, outreach, and working together. We see our journey toward Christian maturity as a process. As we move along this discipleship process, we become more like Christ. We continue to grow and build on each stage as we go, not thinking that we've made it or arrived. The first stage of our journey is growing in God. After we receive Christ, the best place to grow in God is by coming to church services to complement your own personal time with God. At church, we worship together, hear anointed Bible messages, and enjoy fellowship with each other. The next stage on our journey is to grow in relationships. To help us build close relationships, we get involved in small groups meeting in homes called Grow Groups. In Grow Groups, we worship, pray for each other, share Bible study, encouragement, and fellowship. The next stage in our growth journey is outreaching to others. To help equip us, we have a program called Heart to Heart. Listing friends and family, praying for them, and then inviting them along to church, grow groups, or special events. The next stage in our journey is working together. You all have a contribution to make through serving or leading. God has given each of us unique gifts and talents to help grow His church. Journey is a process of growing. Growing in God by coming to church services regularly. Growing in relationships by being involved in grow groups. Growing in outreach through the Heart to Heart program. And growing and working together through serving or leading. So which stage are you at? Be everything that God has made you to be.
Okay.
Okay, so if you have a look at this side, as you see, is on this journey that we're on, and we're all on this journey. Some of you may say, yeah, look, I've tracking pretty well along this path, this process. Some of you think, well, actually, coming to church, maybe I'm not so good because I don't really come all that often. I just come when I feel like it or when I think I maybe can or not so tired. And so that's a starting point. If you're not regular at church, make sure you're going to church. So important to be coming along to church because you want to grow. And then area of relationships and grow groups, being involved in that, and then outreaching to others and then serving or leading. Where are you along this journey? You know, some of you have so much potential. We'd love to see you. Some of you even in leadership, but you're still struggling down here, or you haven't got to here, and so we really want to encourage everyone along that journey. That really is our heart. And so it's a process that we're on about. And obviously we never stop growing in God. We never stop growing in relationships. We never stop outreaching, and we never stop working together using the things that God gives us. And we continue to grow in each and every one of those areas. You can't say, oh yeah, look, I've grown in God now, and yeah, I've done this and then I've done that and now I stop. No, no, it's growing. We're growing in all of those things. Even the Apostle Paul, the amazing Apostle Paul, he said in Philippians 3:12, he says, not that I've already obtained it or have already arrived at my goal. What's our goal? We want to be mature to the fullness of Christ, to be everything that God made us to be. And Paul says, I can't say I'm there yet. None of us here today can say I'm there. No, no, we're all on a journey. And he says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. And my heart this year is that you grab a hold. Okay, this is what we're on about as a church. We're about growing in God. And we see that the activity that linked with that is primarily is for coming to church services. Now, obviously, you're spending time on your own in God. That's a given if you really are a believer, if you really are a disciple, a Christian. In relationships, that you're coming along to grow group. So important, because it's no good just hanging out somewhere. You need to be together and to grow and to sow into one another, build one another up, encourage, learn and grow in relationship, and to be reaching out. And as we're going to hear all about this Heart to Heart program, we'll hear about that in a couple of weeks' time, and about us reaching out to other people, so important. And then serving or leading, because your body needs every bit doing its part, doesn't it? Every one of us need our own physical body doing its stuff. When it's not, what do you call it? You call it a sickness or an illness, don't you? You want to be healthy, then we want to be, as a healthy church, we want every little bit doing its part, not redundant parts, not parts that doesn't work anymore. No, 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 we're all family and we're all working together as that body. So that's our encouragement. I trust that you know what we're on about. Well, next week we're going to hear about the theme for the year and the focus of the year with the preaching theme that will come through this year. You'll hear about that. You're all about grow groups, because that's starting not this week, the following week. Remember, Tuesday night mainly for grow groups, a new Thursday night for those who can't do Tuesdays. And come along and hear more about that, because you need to be connected in a grow group. And you'll hear all about that next week. And we encourage you, the following week we'll talk about that area of outreach, as I mentioned, and after that, about, okay, well, I want to get involved. I don't want to be one of these fingers that are just hanging off there. I want to do something. What can I do? And we'll talk about that, using what God has given you in the weeks ahead. But let's stand to our feet. I trust that you understand this is what we're on about. We're about growing in God, in relationships and in outreach and working together. That's what we're on about as a church. And I trust that you're going to grab a hold of that, because if you're a part of this church, you're here not because you like the music, not because you like the seats or the carpet, the lights, the chairs, the whatever. You're here because I want to grow. And this is where God has put me. This is Grow Church. This is what we're about. This is who we are. And I trust that every one of us wants to grow in God's plan. So I just want to pray for us. Father, we just thank you. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that for Grow Church, Father. Lord, this is a church that you've called into being. And Father, that there is a mandate that was given to us to go into all the world. And Lord, not to make believers, but Lord, to make disciples. Lord, people who want to grow in God, those who want to be everything that God has made them to be, those that aren't playing games, Lord, those aren't filling in the time, Lord, those aren't satisfying their conscience, but something deeper within, Lord, that they say, yes, I want to grow. Lord, I want to be what you've called me to be, Lord. And I want to be a part of a church and a family that are on a journey that are growing and maturing in Christ to be everything that God has made them be to be together, Lord. That we want to grow individually, Lord. We want to grow collectively, Lord, which means we want to see people come to know Jesus Christ, Lord. That's the cry of our heart. And so, Father, we submit ourselves, Lord, to the call of God that is on the life of this church, Lord. That we, and I pray, Lord, I pray that every person, Lord, will see where are they on that journey. Lord, maybe they're only the first place. Maybe they're not even at first base yet. Maybe they haven't even come to that beginning station, the beginning place. Haven't come to know Jesus yet, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this day you'll stir something in their heart and says, I want to get on board. I want to be on this journey. I want to be on the journey of discovering the purpose of my life. I want to know the fullness that I can find in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, even this day, that gives such a person the courage to come and stand here and say, pray for me. Please pray for me. I want Jesus in my life. But Lord, for the rest of us, so we stand here and we say, Lord, but we want to grow. Lord, even if we feel that we're doing each of those steps along the way, Father, we've not arrived. We're not there yet. Lord, we want to grow more in our knowledge and love of you, in our faith and unity. Lord, we want to grow more in our relationships, Lord. Lord, together, Lord, but also in families, Lord. And Lord, to be at the relationship, the heart for people, Lord. Have a heart for those that don't know you and outreach, Father. But Lord, to work together. Say, Lord, I'm not along for the ride. I'm here. I'm a part of the body and I've got something to offer because God has called me and He's made me. Father, I pray that you stir your people, Lord, that we walk this journey together. And Lord, in doing so, Lord, there'll be fulfillment in every heart and every life. And Lord, that we can stand even at the end of our own lives and say, Lord, I've done what you asked of me. And you say, well done, good and faithful servant. And Father, as a church, Lord, that we are rising in everything that you've made us to be. Lord, that we fulfill the purpose, the mandate that you've given us as a church, which we all have a part in fulfilling. So, Lord, we honor you this day. We thank you, Lord, that we're family. We thank you, Lord, that you caused us and planted us here in Grow Church. Lord, that we might grow and cause others to grow, Lord. And I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.